fracking, accessing fuel, but at what cost?
It is starting to change from being a rural countryside into an industrial complex.
I do not see any problem with farming, agriculture, and drilling.
If you're in a state with hydrofracking, you know the issues firsthand. If not, this is Fracking 101. I'm Susan Barnett, and this is 51%, the Women's Perspective. In New York State, hydrofracking has been a headline for a couple of years now. Whether or not it will be allowed is still being debated and studied. But in other states like Pennsylvania, Texas, and North Dakota, the new technique, which extracts gas from shale deep beneath the ground, is well established, and the impacts are clear. The industry points to the jobs created, the money paid for drilling rights, the increase in domestic fossil fuel. Critics point to wells fouled by spills and leaks at the drilling sites, overburdened services in town suddenly swelling with out-of-town workers, and landscapes that have changed forever. Vera Scroggins lives in Pennsylvania. She's watched her county transform from rural to industrial, and she's a vocal witness.
I'm a 21-year resident of this county, Susquehanna County, Pennsylvania, and I'm a mother and grandmother, and I moved here 21 years ago from Nassau County, Long Island, New York, with three children, and wanted to have a rural environment for my children, myself, and have clean air, clean water, and a peaceful environment. So I would say I had that for the most part for about 17 years, and then in 2008, I heard about a gas drilling company was coming into our county, Cabot Gas, and they were starting to drill. And that started my journey of 4 years of learning about this industry as it continues to invade us and take over the county and about 25 other counties in our state, as well as 32 other states or 31 other states and even other parts of the world. And then as I learned about it, there was a whole infrastructure that was going to go along with it. And that then it became even more invasive, and the blueprint kept expanding. It seemed as if on a month-to-month basis.
So Vera, we've had a lot of discussion about the whole hydrofracking issue and the technology of it and the environmental concerns. What I really was interested in hearing is, what have you seen? You, with your own two eyes, what's it been like?
Well, what I've seen is, I've seen well sites, gas well sites, as they started from the point of excavation and right to the end where they started to produce. And I saw a lot of noise for long periods of time, weeks, and lots of lights near homes. It was anywhere from 300 feet from a home to longer than that or farther than that. I saw wells that would, one after another, were being built on 3 to 5 acres of land that was scraped clean, built up to be flat, all kinds of gravel and rock placed on it, so nothing really can grow. And then all kinds of drilling going on, the noise from that, the complaints from people that I started to meet and people I knew, and the impact of noise pollution, traffic pollution, tremendous amount of traffic with trucks coming in, with water, with equipment, and it became a frightening experience because I could see that landscape was changing, the air quality was changing, the sound quality. It is starting to change from being a rural countryside into an industrial complex. And it seemed like hardly anyone was upset about it or screaming about it or sounding the alarm, except for a handful of us who I started to meet more neighbors and friends, made friends, and even some old friends, and we started to discuss it and network and say we got to learn as much as we can and sound the alarm. I figured it was going to stop within a year, but it hasn't. It's now 4 years. Maybe we have 150 wells or more. Endemic alone, a township of 1,400, 1,500 people, 30 square miles, and it's spreading from there into most of the county. And now it's in the northern part of the county where I presently live with my oldest daughter and two grandchildren. And we have a drill rig that just finished drilling three wells 3,000 feet from our home, which is part of a lake community, and it's above our lake. We're downhill from it. And I continue to see and hear about people with water that changes to the point where they can't use it anymore, and continue to meet families that have water buffaloes and vent stacks for explosive levels of methane. I continue to see bubbling methane in creeks that where it wasn't before, according to fishermen who have been there for decades. And I can continue to see increasing conflict in our county, in our communities and neighborhood between those who want it, those who don't, and extreme tensions and polarity that has ripped whatever seemed like a working, peaceful rural community into something unrecognizable.
And Vera, the one argument that you will hear on the pro side is the economic one. Have you seen an improvement in the economy of your area? If we were to ignore all of the other things you're talking about, do you see the economic argument?
I see some improvement in the economic. We have some businesses that are doing better. Rental machinery businesses, some of the restaurants, concrete business, gravel.
Yeah, because they'll give you the argument that in areas where there is low employment, they're not only creating jobs, but creating wealth for people who have this land. And I think that's what I was asking you. Is that true in your experience?
Well, some of the people have some wealth, but they have to have a lot of acreage. We have people, small percentage, that have like 700 acres or hundreds of acres. Well, I would say a small percentage are getting some kind of extra money, whether it's $600 a month, whether it's $1,000 or $100,000 a month, depending on your amount of acreage you have. We still have stores closing, businesses closing, seven businesses right now for sale in the county and in the area of our county seat, Montrose. We have rents that have doubled and tripled, so that even businesses that were here for a long time can't afford to be in the same building if they don't own the building. And people who, our own residents, have been franchised out of the rental market, unless you happen to know someone personally who can give you the pre-drill rate or the pre-industry rate of rental, which now, you know, a lot of landowners or rental owners are just gouging as much as possible.
And then we've got people like you who are weighing whether to stay or not.
My daughter wants to move. She wants to get away from drilling as far as she can. Doesn't want to ever have to see another site again. And she wants to leave and see if she can sell the house. I don't know if she can. We have about six homes for sale on these two lakes that are near each other in the northern part of the county. So I don't see too much selling. And she might have to just leave or get an equity loan and take whatever she can out of the house. And I'm thinking of staying, you know, maybe just holding on to this house and paying what the cost is and still be a witness, because I'm one of the few who feels they can speak out as freely as I do, with some trepidation, but to be able to continue to witness and let the world know what is happening to us, contrary to what the industry and the pro-gas people are promoting and telling everyone.
And Vera, why are people hesitant to speak against it?
Well, I find that a lot of the people, especially those who are long-term natives and people who live here, from what they tell me privately, that there's fear about speaking out, there's fear of being castigated by other neighbors, like the people who spoke out in Dimmock eventually. It took them a while to come out, but they've gotten, you get a lot of negative responses from those who are around you, who haven't spoken out, who want to make money, who are hoping that they can make become millionaires or make a killing based on the propaganda that they've heard from the industry. And they're afraid also of the gas companies. They're afraid of losing any royalties that they might be getting or may get if they happen to be near a gas well.
Have you been approached? Do you have property that someone approached you to ask about drilling?
I sold all whatever I had pre-drill time. And I'm living with my oldest daughter, and she owns property, and it's only an acre on the lake here. And she has been approached several times, and so far she has said no and doesn't want to deal with any kind of a gas lease. And my ex, I'm divorced. My ex, who has 8 acres, doesn't want to lease either. There are a few that I know who are not leasing, but they're in the extreme minority from what I can see.
And with all the work you're doing, do you feel you're making any headway?
I do, because I feel like I'm sounding the alarm for others, at least. And I get most of my, most of the people that come to me are from New York or from other countries. And I'm basically letting them know by showing them around and saying, you know, this is what's happening. You take a look at it, ask questions, interview people, and see if this is what you want. And you can also go on a company tour. Some of the people that I give tours to have gone on company tours. And then you can go on a citizen tour, that's what I call mine, and compare. Take in the information and then make your decision. We were not warned at all, and we had nothing to go by. So the industry basically just was welcomed in by the political structure and barreled its way through the whole state. So I'm happy to see that New York is holding their borders. I'm happy to see that other countries that have come here and taken tours, not only of our county, but counties west of us, have decided on moratoriums or bans. So that feels gratifying. And I also need, at some point, to have a place to run to. So any place that isn't allowing this industry, then it's a possible consideration for me to relocate to.
Vera Scroggins lives in Susquehanna County, Pennsylvania. Coming up, the other side of the argument, plus an organized effort to help towns get information and make enforceable choices about hydrofracking. If you missed part of this show or want to hear it again, visit the 51% archives at WAMC.org. This week's show is number 1215. Search for Vera Scroggins on the internet and you'll find there are people who appear to hate her. It's also not easy to find people to speak out in favor of hydrofracking. Jennifer Huntington is an exception. A dairy farmer near Cooperstown, New York, she sued her hometown of Middlefield, saying only the state has the right to prohibit drilling. She lost, and she's planning to appeal. You'll find some pretty appalling things said about her on the internet, too.
I believe they infringed on my property owner rights by passing the moratorium. Now, I cannot, the minerals on my property, I no longer can access because they have placed a ban. I think the way they've tried to zone it is they've, the lawsuit states that, or their zoning law states that the gas industry is heavy industry and they have zoned out heavy industry. The point being that in the town of Middlefield there have been oil and gas leases for 30, 40 years.
How do you feel about it?
I don't have a problem with it. I think the state needs to be in charge. I think that's where your expertise is. I have talked with many farmers in Pennsylvania. I've been down there a number of times to look at things. And I've listened to the geologists that have talked about the movement of water or chemicals. And I don't believe that a high volume, the fracking fluid will get into the aquifer. The only way it could would be through the cement piping casings and things like that. And that's why New York State has gone for some very, very stringent rules and regulations to try to prevent that.
Jennifer, you're in a truly beautiful part of the country, a very rural section of New York. You've been to Pennsylvania. Did you see anything which raised red flags to you about what it could mean to your area?
I feel that the more threat to agriculture in this area is going to be housing and housing development, not drilling. I've lost 7 acres, 5 to 7 acres, of land that we farmed for 40-some-odd years, rented. It's now a parking lot for a brewery. I've lost 40 acres, again, of land that we farmed for 40-some-odd years because the man was not able. The only way he could get his money out of the property was to sell it for housing. That, to me, is a much, much greater threat to the green in this community, in this area, than drilling. When you are done drilling, you have something that's, they call it a Christmas tree, that's, what, eight foot high. Below sight distance of almost everything, and I can still farm around it. And once you plant a house in my field, I am done farming. And agriculture, and there's a little bit of discussion about this within the agriculture community, I would say probably 80 to 90% of, and I'm talking dairy farmers, I think you can do a fair amount of crop farmers in there also, are in favor of drilling. Those that are very vocal and that are opposed are, generally speaking, organic farmers. The fact is that those of us that farm and have farmed for generations here put millions of dollars into local economy. I spent in the year 2011 over $800,000 that I spent local for fuel, supplies, wages, all local. And I don't think your small organic farmers will even touch a percentage of that. There's a place for organic. Organic will not feed the world. And we need to move on and be looking for new and better technology to help provide domestic energy. But I do not see any problem with farming, agriculture, and drilling.
I have to ask you, when I go online, I see very dramatic video of people who are seeing impacts from fracking. A dairy farmer near Dimmock, Pennsylvania, who cannot give her cows the water from her well anymore because of spills, not with problems from the casings.
In New York State, they will not allow open tanks or open ponds. Everything will be a controlled system. They had problems in Pennsylvania, and New York State will have learned from what has happened down there. I know one thing they dislike hearing is that nothing is perfect. There's always a risk to everything you do. I think the risk for the drilling is excessively small. Most of the problems you talk with are the 80-year-old woman that's farming, or and they have 30 cows or things like that.
All right. I have another question, which has occurred to me just from listening to people on both sides of this issue. You do admit there have been problems in Pennsylvania. Might there be a benefit to your area, to people like you, to keep your landscape the way it is, as a tourist destination, as other areas like this begin to disappear?
I know in this area that's one of the biggest discussions is they want the tourism. A thought that I've had is, do you realize how much tourism that we have sent down to Pennsylvania to look at the gas wells? They could have packaged this area as, look, this is the way it was before. This is how we are moving forward. We have a natural gas, a gas station here for those cars. We have changed all of our heating for our schools, and we have saved X amount of money. We've decreased our carbon footprint. We've decreased our emissions by using natural gas. We have moved our hospital over to this. You know, they could have embraced it and could have made it I know they think this is going to be a destination that's a wasteland, but we could have looked at it the other way, and they could have embraced it and sold this as a destination to come see a small town in middle rural America and look what we're doing to move ourselves forward.
What has it meant for you personally to take a stand on this issue? I know it's a very emotional one.
It is very difficult. You end up, people that you used to talk to don't talk to you. I removed my daughter from school because of various things going on there. They're heading in an area that I didn't particularly, especially along the organic line, that I didn't agree with.
So you are really a community divided.
Yes. Yep. And we really need to start talking because we all love this area. We all want the same things for this area. We just see different ways of going about it. I do not see an issue with the drilling. When they talk about the truck traffic, well, again, are you looking at the state or are you looking at this particular area? This particular area, I can almost guarantee we'll never see that kind of drilling that they have down in Pennsylvania because the Marcellus and the geology simply will not allow it. If you're talking about the rest of the state, it differs on the different areas where you're at. Definitely the southern tier is going to see drilling that may be fairly similar to what they have in Pennsylvania. But up here, the geology is just not supporting that type of drilling.
Do you ever see, in your lifetime with this issue, the community getting back together?
I would hope so. In fact, people, you said in my lifetime, which made me think of something. When people ask me when will drilling come, I often say, optimistically, 5 years. Realistically, maybe within my lifetime.
Jennifer Huntington's family owns a dairy farm in Middlefield, New York. If you'd like to hear her full interview, visit our website at wamc.org. The debate over hydraulic fracturing is an emotional one, and part of the argument is over a community's ability to approve or deny drilling rights in its borders. The Natural Resources Defense Council has begun the Community Defense Project in targeted states to help communities get information and, where necessary, work to get the power to make their own choices. Kate Sinding is an attorney with the NRDC.
There's so much focus on whether you call it best practices or regulations or safeguards, and making sure the appropriate ones are in place wherever fracking is taking place. But those things don't address what we refer to as community impacts or community character impacts. These are the impacts that are just inherent in the fact that this is a heavy industrial activity. So there are things like, you know, the huge amounts of truck traffic, and, you know, they don't address the increased demand for community services. They don't address issues associated with what happens when a new population comes into an area. And so for those things, we think it's very important that localities, which have always in this country had as their mandate making land use decisions and protecting community character, that they're empowered to make decisions about what happens with respect to fracking in their communities. So the idea of the project is to work with municipalities or with interested individuals within municipalities in 5 states initially, New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Illinois, and North Carolina, to develop tools and then implement and defend those tools that give municipalities the broadest possible power over decision-making about fracking that's proposed to come to them.
Kate Sinding is an attorney with the Natural Resources Defense Council. Find out more about the Community Defense Project at nrdc.org. That's our show for this week. Thanks to Katie Britton for production assistance. Our theme music is by Kevin Bartlett. This show is a national production of Northeast Public Radio. Our executive producer is Dr. Alan Shartok. If you'd like to hear this show again or visit the 51% archives, go to our website at wamc.org. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another edition of 51%, The Women's Perspective.